This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzler. I welcome Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, writing most recently at the Washington Free Beacon on very important circumstances and voices in the Republican Party over centuries. Actually, we can reach back thousands of years because Socrates and Plato are part of this conversation. The focus is on a man who left us in 2015, Harry Jaffa, a teacher, a philosopher, and author. Harry Jaffa was a Straussian. That's Leo Strauss, the philosopher. However, this story begins in July of 1964 at the Republican National Convention. To understand events of that convention, which is understood as a rebirth of conservatism in the Republican Party, to understand that, you must be able to explicate a line written by Harry Jaffa, because he was a speechwriter for Barry Goldwater, the nominee that year, the senator from Arizona. The quote is famous, and I will read it, but don't get distracted by it, because it requires a lot of explanations. Barry Goldwater said to a rapt TV audience, live, "I would remind you that extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. And let me remind you also that moderation in the pursuit of justice is no virtue." That line, still with us, and it needs explanation. Peter, a very good evening to you. That line was written by Harry Jaffa. Before we go any farther, Harry Jaffa was a Straussian. What did that mean for Harry Jaffa? Who was Leo Strauss, and what did he propose? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Leo Strauss was one of the great interpreters of the history of political philosophy in the 20th century. He was born in 1899 in Germany. In the late 1930s, in flight from Hitler's Germany, he made it to the United States. He taught in New York for 10 years at the New School for Social Research, and he found his real home at the University of Chicago, where for a generation and a half, he taught in the political science department. Harry Jaffa was among the first generation of Strauss's students. What were Strauss's contributions to the study of the history of political philosophy? First, he played a seminal role in reviving the serious study of classical political philosophy, not only Plato and Aristotle, but Thucydides, Xenophon, Cicero, and more. Strauss insisted that classical political philosophy was a living source of wisdom, that we couldn't understand the challenges that liberal democracy face today unless we learn from Plato and Aristotle.
What did he find about Socrates that was particularly compelling? What did Leo Strauss make of Socrates' death or his challenges or the way he conducted himself, thanks to Plato's illustration?
Yes, well, many aspects of it. He found that Plato's Socrates represented the embodiment of the philosophical way of life, that we must take this way of life seriously. That is the way of life devoted to the pursuit of truth, that this way of life was different from the political life, the life of the statesman, but the study of political philosophy, the philosophical study of politics, provided indispensable knowledge to the the statesman, and that this both political philosophy and responsible statesmanship is oriented by natural right, or that is justice, which is independent of what human beings will or want or prefer, or as we would say today, socially construct things. And this standard, which is not something human beings make, but something human beings discover through reasoning, should serve as a guide for citizens and for political men and political women.
There can be tension here, and Peter, I want to address that tension before we got any farther. There's tension between freedom or liberty for an individual and the pursuit of excellence. How did Strauss resolve that?
Yes, there's definitely such a tension. In fact, we have to keep in mind that classical Athens was was, while a democracy was not a liberal democracy, it didn't protect, for example, freedom of speech. Indeed, Socrates was put to death at age 70 for the crimes of corrupting the young and teaching gods other than the gods of the city. Plato and Aristotle, in their writings, envisage cities that are devoted to the promotion of virtue, not to the defense of individual rights. And yet, Strauss showed that in both Plato's writings and Aristotle's writings, there are recognition that rare will be the human being who finds himself or herself in a city which is capable of pursuing the best. More likely, the best practicable regime will be some kind of regime that mixes consent of the governed, which we associate with democracy, or I should really say the people's rule, with rule by a few people who have more money, status, and property. A mix of those two kinds of regimes. So even Plato and Aristotle recognize that while the best form of government is the one devoted to virtue, that it's unlikely that you're ever going to find yourself living under a regime with such high standards. From this, Strauss learned the lesson that we should be extremely grateful in our circumstances in the modern era to be living in free societies, not least because free societies protect the opportunity for those devoted to excellence, to virtue, to the worship of God, and also those not devoted to the worship of God, to pursue their goals, to form communities, to raise their children as they think fit. So while American modern liberal democracy deviates from what Plato and Aristotle regarded as the best regime, Strauss himself, I believe, came to the conclusion that under modern circumstances, liberal democracy deserves our allegiance, and we who are fortunate enough to live in the United States should not only count our blessings, but do everything that we can to conserve our precious inheritance of freedom.
Leo Strauss, now we come to his student, Harry Jaffa, and I learned through Peter, I did not know, that there are East Coast Straussians and West Coast Straussians. I confess I'm an East Coast Straussian. Harry was a West Coast Straussian. So how does that help us understand the speech that Harry Jaffa wrote for Barry Goldwater?
Yes, I think it helps us understand what I regard as a central paradox of Harry Jaffa's scholarly career and political career. That is, on the one hand, Jaffa was a great student of the need for political moderation. And what do I mean by moderation here? I mean the need to temper and accommodate, because we live in a world in which principles collide and interests are very difficult to perfectly reconcile. So what's the paradox? On the one hand, Jaffa is one of our great students of political moderation, having written important books on St. Thomas and Aristotle and on Abraham Lincoln and then other great figures in the history of Western civilization. On the other hand, Harry Jaffa is credited with penning the lines that Barry Goldwater spoke, that extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice, and that moderation in the pursuit of justice is no virtue. In other words, celebrating a kind of zealotry and demoting moderation and what goes with it, prudent judgment. So this could strike you, penning these lines, as a deviation from, even a betrayal of Strauss's inheritance. That's the puzzle it leaves us with. And we can add to the puzzle that Jaffa is the only Straussian I can think of who formed a separate school around himself. That school is now the spirit of that school, I should say, is housed, really, the Claremont Institute in California. And the Claremont Institute has become associated through the open statements of some of its leading fellows with an extreme interpretation of the situation of liberal democracy in America today.
Detail about the Straussians or the Jaffa Straussians are happy or unhappy with the present state of the Republican conservatism or republicanism? because we're going to explore the 21st century momentarily. And if they are unhappy, how is it that it involves Abraham Lincoln?
Well, the answer to the first part of your question is they are deeply unhappy with the condition of the United States today. Now, we have to quickly add that most sentient people are unhappy with the condition of politics in the United States today and recognize that the country is suffering from polarization, from enmity stemming from both sides of the aisle. But the West Coast Straussians, including Michael Anton, who authored the famous Flight 93 polemic in September of 2016, and Glenn Elmers, who has a new book out on Harry Jaffa, have been arguing that the task of conservatives is no longer to conserve. It's actually to rebel, revolt, engage in counter-revolution, and refound the United States. That is a kind of overturning of the existing order, so noxious has American politics and American culture become. Now, how does this arise out of Lincoln? I myself am skeptical that it skeptical. I deny that this is the proper inference from the serious study of Lincoln, but I worry that this kind of extremism arises from Jaffa's Lincoln, because Jaffa ascribes to Lincoln having an insight into the founding that no one before Lincoln and almost nobody after Lincoln has had. Jaffa ascribes to Lincoln the view that the founders adequately reconciled the tensions of ancient, classical, and modern political philosophy. That reconciliation is contained within the Declaration and the Constitution. And this understanding gives one a special, unique understanding into the condition of America today and even justifies transformative enterprises.
I'm speaking with Peter Berkowitz. Peter is at the Hoover Institution and writing at the Washington Free Beacon about philosophers Leo Strauss and Harry Jaffa and how that connects to a very famous speech by Barry Goldwater in 1964 and how it connects to today, especially the word moderation. When we come back, what about moderation? Where do we find it in the Republican Party today? This is CBSi on the World. I'm John Batchelor.